That is the voice of Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters. And that's what he is best known for, creating music and kind of being a good guy in rock, I would have thought up until now. But he has announced on his Instagram that he has fathered a child outside of my marriage. In a statement he put on his Instagram page, he said, "I've recently become the father of a new baby daughter born outside of my marriage. I plan to be a loving and supportive parent to her." He went on to say, "I love my wife and my children and I'm doing everything I can to regain their trust and earn their forgiveness. We're grateful for your consideration toward all the children involved as we move forward together." And there have been no more details given about his new daughter or their mother. Well, I'm joined here in the studio by the newsroom's Emily Keegan. And Emily, you've been looking at the reaction to this online and what has been said.
People are really, really disappointed. Now, I must start off by saying I never really knew much about Dave Grohl until the past few years. So I never would have looked up to him as this inspirational, comforting person. But apparently other people did. One of my favourite reactions was someone saying they've never felt a deeper parasocial betrayal than him cheating on his wife. And people are like, "There goes my hero." They're really devastated. Out of all the rock stars, this is the one people seem to think was the least likely to do something like this. People are really, really devastated. Some of the things online are turning a bit ugly. There's a lot of really horrible insults being thrown at him and his family, which his children are very young. I think people need to remember that this is real lives that we're talking about here. This is a real family. And two of his daughters have actually deactivated their social media profiles. Like, it's clearly something that is carrying a lot of emotion and people are really feeling that. I'm seeing a lot of memes of Ben Affleck being thrown around, the memes of him crying that circle around every once in a while when something like this happens. It's not what people expected to see when they woke up this morning, I think.
Is that Ben Affleck one where he's like smoking the cigarette, yes, and looking at the sky?
I mean,
I absolutely love it. My favourite meme of that is when it's like during COVID when somebody says, "Let's do another Joe Wicks workout." I mean, it just signified everything. Yeah. Back to the story at hand. I mean, we kind of feel like we've ownership on these celebrities. And is that a little bit unfair? Because as you said, this is a real story. Nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. Nobody is perfect. Even as I said, he's known for being a good guy. Is he still a good guy because he's made a mistake? Or is this a really, really big, bad mistake to make? It's a really tough one. I mean, he's there for making music, for music to be enjoyed, not to be held accountable by his fans.
Yeah, and I think that's why that one tweet about the parasocial relationship stood out to me and that sense of betrayal, because really the person who put up that tweet is not the one who's been betrayed here. There is a lot going on within this family, and I think as emotional as we may be, there are people actually dealing with this issue that doesn't directly affect us. And I would imagine he will continue to make music, hopefully in the future, and continue to perform. So I don't think it's something that is impacting us as much as we might think it is. But I do think it does go back to that of, we have this sense of ownership of them. We think we're entitled to know everything about their lives. And when something happens that we weren't prepared for, it's that shock of, "Oh my God, you're not the person that I thought you were. I can't believe you would do this to me." But nothing actually happened to you. I hate to break it to you. This is a real problem to people who are directly affected by it.
And they're dredging up his past and that he did have a previous marriage that ended after infidelity.
Yeah, and that's where I think a lot of the war is happening on X right now, is where some people are saying, how could you be surprised? He did cheat on his ex-wife and he has openly confessed to the reason that was the downfall of the previous relationship. And then you've got people saying, I never saw this coming. So there's a lot of back and forth of, he's not actually a good guy. People are pulling up recently when he came for Taylor Swift. Like, there's been things throughout the years that he definitely has been questioned over. So I guess that's also just a sign of, we are quick to move on. So while this might feel like it's the end of the world right now, it probably will blow over and we'll have another showbiz story next week that's going to sweep the headlines away from him.
Yeah, it's all about the entertainment stories today, isn't it?
Yeah.
That doesn't always happen. I know there's a lot of other stuff going on, and obviously the debate in America is also huge. But These are big headline stories today in the newsroom.
It is. When I was reading my news bulletins this morning, I was leading with Taylor Swift and the debate, and Dave was getting his mention in there. It almost got to the point where I stood back and I was looking at even the news talk bulletins with Shane this morning. A lot of the stories were showbiz entertainment stories because these people do have a huge influence. As much as we might like to say they shouldn't get involved in politics and they shouldn't comment on certain things and we shouldn't be entitled to their lives, we do care. And what they say does actually sway things in the world, like it or not.
Yeah, well, look, it is the story that people are talking about today, which is why we are. So thank you for filling us in on the details. That's Emily Keegan from the newsroom. And some of the texts coming in say he's not the first. He won't be the last. I feel sorry for his family, especially his wife. Another says, if rock stars cannot father children outside of marriage, what hope is there for the rest of us? And I always thought that his title of the nicest man in rock and roll would not be welcomed by a proper old school rock star. And I was thinking about the Osbournes, and Sharon Osbourne used to always say that, you know, you're married to a rock star, he's going to go on tour, this is just par for the course, which I didn't think was a very nice thing to have to say either. But, you know, different families have different values, have different setups. But I think it's clear from the statement that was made that this is not landing well in Dave Grohl's personal life. Clever of Dave Grohl's advisors to release a statement on the day of the presidential debate. Damage limitation. Well, let's go to the phones where I have consultant clinical psychologist Dr. Tara Logan Buckley. Hello, Tara. How are you?
Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So a lot of people are sort of talking about the ramifications of this in anybody's life. Can couples survive an extramarital affair? Is this something that you hear? People are kind of shocked by this, but do you come across this situation a lot? Infidelity, if even without children at the end of it, perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something, you know, we would hear day in and day out. And look, there's various reasons that people cheat, from primary factors, from secondary factors. And, you know, they can be complex and personal to everybody. So unique, everyone is unique in the reasons as to why. And each relationship is unique into maybe what is missing or lack of communication and things like that as well.
And what are your advices to couples? Like, how can trust be regained after something like that?
So couples can recover from infidelity, but it requires a lot of work. There's a lot of commitment and, I suppose, emotional healing on both parties. Like, recovery is possible, but it's extremely challenging. So I suppose the very first thing is there has to be open communication. So they have to be able to talk honestly with each other about what happened, the feelings and the issues that actually are the main causes that led to that infidelity in the first place. The second part, and this is where a lot of couples actually struggle, is, you know, a lot of people go into the victim blaming. Well, if you did this, then I wouldn't have had to cheat. Whereas the person who has cheated has to have remorse and accountability. That's one of the main things, because without that, without genuine remorse and accountability for their actions, none of that trust can be built, because you need that in order for their partner to say, okay, can I heal from this? Can I accept the situation for what it was? And can I actually forgive? And without those three things at the start, there is no ability to rebuild that trust or to even get deeper understanding into it and to even maybe at the end even have a stronger relationship. So they're the three kind of main things, is that open communication, the real remorse and accountability, and is the other person, do they have the ability to accept, forgive and to heal in that? Because not a lot of people do, and that's perfectly okay as well. They never got with their partner expecting them to cause this much pain to them, you know. And if we look at the kind of highest rates of divorce, it is really in relationships where infidelity has been kind of one of the leading factors to a marriage breakdown.
Well, these were the things that are being discussed around the office. And I mean, I think it's fair to point out this was among a group of us girls were talking. And, you know, this idea that a man would still be seeking validation when he already has so much seems very hard. And I know we don't know much about this mother, but I think there was a kind of an assumption perhaps going on that this could be a younger woman. And there's just something about that can be very hard to overcome, that, you know, that still this validation was being sought by somebody still at that stage in their lives, regardless of how much money is in the bank.
This is something we see a lot, and it's something that recent research has has really been looking into. So for people who are aging or where body images, because obviously as we age, our body does change and that's just a natural thing. And what happens is we're seeing kind of more middle-aged and older-aged men having affairs with women who are actually around their daughter's age or quite young women. And the reason for this at times can be to prove that they actually still have it. That they actually, you know, that even though their body is changing and they're aging, that they still have that something, whether it's that charm, whether that's charisma, whether it's the money, that also can be a thing as well. But that, you know, actually, I'm not letting myself go. I still have it, but perhaps my spouse has let themselves go. They're aging. They don't still have it. They're not attractive to the opposite member of sex, whereas I still am. And this is something that actually we're seeing a lot more of now. I know we've kind of used men as an example there, but obviously it can be the same with women as well. You know, they can say, okay, well, actually, do I still have this as well? And this is something that we're seeing, particularly if we think about the culture and the societal norms that we have, that we're not meant to age, particularly women, we're not meant to age gracefully. We're meant to have all these treatments done. We're meant to look this certain way. And, you know, if we don't look that way, then of course our men are going to go off and cheat on women who are younger and better looking, etc., etc.
I absolutely despise that narrative. So I would find it very hard to overcome that if my own partner became embroiled in that way of thinking. But something else that obviously comes into it are the children at the centre of this, the new daughter and the three children that he already has. Now, as Emily from the newsroom touched on, two of the older children who are in their teens disabled their Instagram account. The youngest is 10, so perhaps never had one in the first place. But Emily was telling me before we came on air that she saw online some of the comments that had been made to the kids, and some of them were really vile. And that must be very hard to overcome, the pain caused to the young people at the centre of the family, as opposed to just the couple.
Absolutely. It's so hard. And if we think about it as well, you know, being in that adolescence phase, it's probably one of the most hardest phases of life. You've got so many different changes. You're trying to find your identity and all the hormones that's kind of going through you. And a lot of the time what can happen is that then adolescents can start to blame themselves. So they don't even view it as that's an issue within the couple, within their mom and dad. They actually view it as, well, there must be an issue with us. There must be an issue with me. If I was a better daughter, if I was a better son, if I did this, if I did that, then my dad wouldn't have to go and do those things. So actually what can happen for the adolescents is it can come all about the self-blame, and they can really take that really difficult on themselves.
Yeah, and then that lioness mentality can kick in. But, you know, you did say there is hope, open communication, remorse and accountability, and some couples can move on from this. Well, consultant clinical psychologist Dr. Tara Logan-Buckley, thank you very much for coming on. He's human, says another. We don't know the full context. Indeed, it's so true. And all these, you know, discussions start happening. I mean, even I threw in the idea that what if this is a younger person with nothing to base that on? You know, you do just start to go down this road. Owen in Bray says, who cares if Dave Grohl has a child outside marriage? I listen to his music, not his personal life. Another asks, would you prefer if Dave Grohl was a bland rock star like Chris Martin? Well, look, I don't think somebody along with his band who can sell out that many dates on a tour you could really describe as bland. Maybe it's the consciously uncoupling thing that people don't like, but I'm all for an amicable separation. Michael says, if the world were full of perfect people, I might raise an eyebrow. If those passing judgment were perfect people, I might also raise an eyebrow. We live in a world quick to judge, all too quick to rant a moral judgment behind the faceless wall of social media. I know. And like, who are we to judge people that we don't even know? Terry Prone is chair of the Communications Clinic. Hello, Terry. How are you?
Hello, Claire. How are you?
I am very good.
This is excellent.
This is an interesting one, isn't it? Because I was very intrigued as to why he would put out a statement like this about his personal life. Was this perhaps getting ahead of the story?
We have to presume so. And we also need to acknowledge that as statements go, it's one of the very best, because there isn't anything in it that shouldn't be in it. It moves from personal responsibility in the first section into the collective, where he's saying we, and the assumption that we're led to believe about the we is that it means his wife and his family. It also stresses the children, and the children are going to be damaged in different kind of ways. As you say, the 18-year-old and I think the 16-year-old have disabled their social media accounts. The 10-year-old is in a dreadful position, because a child that young will never understand how a man, particularly a man with a reputation as a lovely guy. The thing is that if you're going to be unfaithful, if you're a rock star, then it's actually better if you're a Mick Jagger, somebody who never pretended to have any values or virtues of any kind, and therefore it's not a surprise no matter what Mick Jagger does. But David Grohl was regarded as a lovely man, and that's a problem to him now, because it is provoking the sense of personal betrayal. Because it isn't just that everybody on social media feels that they have a right to an opinion. They feel that they have a duty to have that opinion and to make a judgment on this person. And sometimes the judgment is a soft one. Like, for example, when people say, and I was interested in the words used earlier, well, you can make a mistake. This is not making a mistake. This is breaking a fundamental promise made to another human being, which specifies that it will go on in sickness and in health all the days of our lives. So this is not a mistake when somebody is unfaithful. The second thing is this notion that it is in some way seeking validation tends to come from the fact that we really like David Grohl and we want to kind of let him off the hook. But the fact is that a musician like him can survive grand and will survive grand. The people who may never survive in terms of trust, happiness, future are the uninvolved people. The wife, the children, and the new baby.
And Terry, in your experience of situations like this, be the ones that you've worked with or otherwise, does this tend to put more of a focus on the situation? I mean, we haven't been given any information about the mother and the new baby, but will the tabloids be itching to try and get more details on this? Can this cause even stoke the flames even more than put out the fire?
Of course it can, and it would be naive, and I don't believe he is that naive, it would be naive to expect that it would close it down. Now, he can, and his wife can, close it down over the next few months. But the fact is that in any interview with him in the next 10, 20, 30 years, even if the clipboard Nazis, the PR people who surround a star like him, specify in advance of any interview, you're not allowed to ask about the episode in 2024. The fact is that people always will. If you look, for example, online, you see interviewers saying things like, I know you don't want to talk about your first wife. And suddenly we're into talking about the first wife. Of course, this is one of the few advantages, Claire, of social media. He can now, if he wants to, never be interviewed again. Stephen Fry said this, and he was right. He said, I have social media. I can put up whatever I want, and I don't have to tolerate rude questions from interviewers. And Dave Grohl can do that. He can simply decide, I'm going to post stuff, I'm going to put up pictures, I'm going to select and curate what goes up, and I'm never going to be interviewed ever again.
Can I just ask you finally, quickly, do you think that the timing was well thought out, that it would be the day of the presidential debate?
I'm always wary of attributing malicious, witchy kind of timings to things, because my experience is that it usually happens by accident and that it's only fools in PR who say things like what was said on 9/11, where some fool in political PR in Britain notified all government departments and said this would be a great day to get out your bad news. In my experience, only fools do that, and they do it rarely. I would think that that statement was worked on and worked on and worked on. And at a certain stage, somebody said, OK, folks, this is perfect and we can't keep faffing around it. Are we good to go? And that somebody said, yep, go with it.
Terry Prone, Chair of the Communications Clinic, thank you as ever. Andrea joins me on the line in Dublin. Andrea, you're welcome to Lunchtime Live. How are you?
Hi, Claire. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, as somebody who's been cheating on, I found out that my now ex-husband was having a long-time affair. I'm not surprised, but I'm not surprised, because I think once, you know, that happens to you, you realise that nobody's perfect, and I didn't think anybody was perfect anyway. But I suppose you just come across it much more often. You know, I just feel sorry for his wife and his children and even his extended family that are now going to be involved in this and forever more involved in it because there's a child involved in it. So it's not an easy situation, and I feel for the wife of Dave Grohl, because now she has a difficult decision to make.
And Andrea, were you met with strange language around this? Some of the things that Terry was touching on there, like, look, everybody makes mistakes and, you know, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And I know, well, in particular my ex, you know, and I will say every situation is different, and my opinion and his opinion is very unique. It's obviously unique to our situation. But yeah, you know, they tried to justify it. He tried to justify it, and you say it was a mistake, whatever, but I didn't fall for that. I don't accept that. You know, a mistake is a one-time thing. It happens once, but an affair which goes on over a period of however long it is, months, years, whatever it is, you're repeatedly making that same inverted commas mistake, so that isn't a mistake.
Were you able to survive the chapter?
No. I mean, you know, it depends on the state of the marriage prior to it anyway, but my marriage is already on the way out, and I suspected he was up to something. Now, as far as I can tell, it goes back a very long way, but I found out for myself. He didn't even tell me about the affair. I found out, and I confronted him and her, and they both admitted to it. But no, I mean, in my mind, it's such a huge, huge, huge thing. For me, I could never get over that. The trust is completely obliterated. And the fact that it's the amount of lying that goes with it over years and years, that's, you know, that I could never get over something like that, no.
And how are you personally now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm okay now with it. It was huge. I mean, I was so angry because he pushed, like what Terry's saying, he then pushed myself and our two children in that situation. We didn't ask for it, you know. He thrust that upon us. He had a decision all the time to end things, to rectify, to come back into the marriage, to try and fix things. But he decided to destroy our marriage, although he tried to blame me, that I was the one, if I made the decision to go for a separation and divorce, that I was the one that was breaking up our family. So he put that guilt on me. So either I stay in the marriage with a cheater and accept it, or press the button and explode our family unit, which I felt I had no choice to do, because for self-respect, for teaching my kids, for, you know, trying to make me feel guilty for him having an affair. He was the type of person, he wouldn't accept any responsibility, completely, you know, washed his hands of the whole thing and made excuses for it left, right and centre. So I had to burden that guilt, whether I either stay with a cheater and keep my family together, or press the button and, you know, explode up our whole lives. And that's what I had to do, because for my own self-respect and for the sake of my children, to teach them what's right and wrong in my mind in life, I had no choice. It wasn't even an option for me. It was no from the get-go. I'm not staying with a cheater.
Well, Andrea, I wish you and your children and your new family set up all the very best for the future. And thank you so much for coming on and talking about that.